And here we are, Worldwide Live through BBS Radio. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I worked hard today. I'm a little tired. Can you tell? I welcome you all to this Wednesday evening show taken care of by Winfrey and Terry Brown. Tonight's show is You Have Questions, We Have Answers. This is, as usual, a simulcast conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line and more people checking in, as you can hear the dings coming around the corner. I welcome those folks who have been here in the last minutes. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda in Boulder Creek.
Welcome, Dharmananda.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Fine.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Prudence, North Carolina.
Prudence, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you all.
All right. More people joined in. Welcome. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi. Is this...
Hello. Shirley from Ohio. Hello.
Hello, Shirley. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
When are you coming back to Sedona again, Shirley?
Oh, I would love to. Not soon enough.
Is Terry Brown here?
Yeah. Negative. She's not.
Oh, my God. Here we go again.
You're live on BBS Radio.
Terry has job security, you know.
You'll get kicked out of the house, right?
Well, I can't remember. You can't replace her.
No. There's another thing.
That's what I mean.
Okay, yeah. Let me turn it off.
Now we are taking the walk down the hallway to see Terry. This is like the old Jack Benny stuff, remember? Jack would walk down. Rochester! Are you on the call, Terry?
Yeah.
I know someone on you.
In the meantime, we have a few more people join in. We welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Chris.
Hi, this is Terry.
Hello, Chris, and hello, Terry.
Hey, I...
Hello.
All right, this is Morgan.
No, this is Lori from Portland.
Oh, hi, Lori. Okay, excuse me.
Hey, Rick and I.
Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hello, Rick.
Hi.
And Steve.
Hi there.
Welcome to you all.
Listen. I want you all to do something for Chris in Memphis, okay? And he's got some critters haunting him, okay? So.
Have you talked to Fred, right?
Just be quiet. Be quiet.
Okay.
Right. I don't have to talk to Fred to know that. Jeez.
No, you don't even know the sense of it then, do you? I mean,
in any case, what we're going to do is on the count of three, we're going to go boo. All right? Is that okay with you, Chris?
Hey, go for it.
We're going to scare those guys away. And I want you to just project the boo into Chris's house in Memphis. Okay. You ready? One, two, three.
Boo! Oh, you just scared him shitless.
Fred, are you on the line, Fred?
We're going to put Fred out of a better or worse.
We're going to get... Well, it's too soon to tell. Give it a little chance to incubate. But we get good at that, Fred will lose his job.
By the way, there is a gathering tomorrow night, taken care of by Ed Spina.
Right. I was going to send an email out on it. Okay. So, give me some moments, and I'll do it. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Good to have you, Terry.
Okay.
Partially in trance.
Thank you.
Very
you're
down.
You're kind of quiet, Terry.
Oh, yeah, I was muted. Just listening.
You're still quiet. You're too low.
Can you hear me? Oh. And you hear me now?
Now yes. It's getting good. Okay?
Okay.
What was the matter, for future reference?
My microphone was on my head.
I see. Okay. All right.
Shall we start the recording at 6:05 on this beautiful day?
I would say, tell you what, let me just see if there's any last minute questions that came in.
All right.
So I don't have to put all my hesitations on the recording. Hang on.
Unmute the lines.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Today's day has no dates, I believe.
It is May 25th.
Okay, there we go.
This conference is being recorded.
May 25th.
This is May 25th. Wynn and Terry in Sedona.
May 25th, 2016.
Thank you so much. And this is the call where people ask questions. And you know, we don't usually. It's very interesting because we don't usually promote this call up because I just say, okay, ask questions. But I would say some of the most amazing stuff of our calls comes through. Because people ask such amazing questions, and we get so many amazing answers, okay? And, okay, let me see. All right. And as I always like to preface, any of this stuff, you should not believe it blindly. And the most important questions and the most important answers are the ones that have to do with universal truths. Because, Carter Ruckert said this many times, and she followed this policy, and I think she is essentially right, that if you want to get a really high source, if you don't want the source to switch to a lower source, and if you've been listening to our calls, this might make sense to you. It seems as if we're talking to one intelligence, which says it's Ra'an. And, in fact, I'll make this my first question when I call in the light. The question, that since questions that people have come from so many different timelines and densities, does Ra'an extend into those timelines to answer the question, or do other sources kind of come in depending on the question? That's my question, but don't answer it because we haven't called in the light.
Benny, will you please move your mic a little bit away from you?
Yeah. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light, surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection operating in the law of one and the Christ of energy. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. Do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are mindful of the question that you have asked, and we formulate our answer into English four roots. We are a source. We are a combination of Ra'an, of the Ra group, and the Elohim group. So when we come in, those of us are our basic source, which the channel tunes to. When a question is asked, there is another thing that is required, and that is that the answer generally lies in the area of the question. So that if someone is questioning something about the formation of a river, say, then we, on sections of the Ra group and the Elohim group, will go to the river and check out the answer, check out the information. So there is generally a target that we go to check out what the correct answer will be. If a person asks a question, another person can ask the exact same question, but the answer can be completely different. So the connection with the source of the question is also important. So we lay a track in where we check with the questioner, and we check with the areas of the answer, and we put it all together.
Now, Carla has said a number of times, to protect yourself from negative sources, to make your questions the universal questions. And the answers might be true 10,000 years from now as they would be now, as opposed to transitory questions. And sometimes we do ask transitory questions on behalf of people. So could you comment on that whole idea?
Yes. If one asks negative questions or something requiring information about negativity, then that can detune the source. It can detune your channeling instrument, as the vibrations from the negative source target comes in, and the channeler experiences those negative vibrations, it can detune them from their tuning to us to then tuning to the negativity, and can jump track to a negative source. So it can detune the channel when you ask negative questions.
So we've had that experience where you've asked to close the session sometimes very
yes.
quickly. And,
yes.
And that's the reason, okay?
Yes.
Probably in general. Okay.
Yes. Sometimes in the past, the channel has been opened up the door to negative vibrations and negative information, which then has overpowered the channeling line, and the session had to be closed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. First question for tonight. One of the big topics of the day today was Marilyn in Pittsburgh was going into a frenzy because her cat disappeared. And she was calling Fred up and was looking for her cat and speculating what happened. And I thought I'd ask our sources maybe to share from their point of view what happened to her cat that seemed to have disappeared from her apartment and then mysteriously showed up again.
Thank you. The cat was in the apartment. The cat disappeared because the cat found a place within the apartment that the cat did not usually go. And the cat got somewhat stuck in that narrow space. It is a space between two, perhaps a window and a screen, where the cat went in and could not get turned around for a minute, for a while, and one would not think to look there for the cat because the cat usually wouldn't go there. We see that there is some place in the apartment between two, say, between a window and a screen, or between two sliding doors, that the cat went into and did not generally go into. We would like to say that if Marilyn relaxes and takes a more calm role, that the cat will not pick up upset in so much. Some of the upset or frightenedness of the cat, as the cat is experiencing Marilyn's fright. So if Marilyn projects calmness and safety and protection to the cat will sense that and will start to calm down. Her apartment was not broken into.
Thank you. Okay. Next question is D from Ohio. I'm visiting my son and daughter-in-law, Kara and Joshua. They live in Hampstead, Maryland. Tonight we heard sounds coming from upstairs. The house is 75 years old and has a history of dragging noises upstairs as if moving furniture heard every night at around 10:30 or 11. A friend felt something was moving up and down the steps, and the steps were creaking. Recently, Kara has been touched. This evening, all of us heard the sound upstairs tonight. Can you tell us what's going on and what to do to clear the house? Kara has given me permission to ask. She's right next to me. Thank you.
Thank you. We see an event from the past that keeps being reenacted. An event of having to vacate the house, having to move the furniture around that was very upsetting to the people that lived there. And the people that live there are still as a ghost, as ghosts, more than one of them, are inhabiting this and are re-experiencing this furniture movement. We take a moment and we see the frustration in the ghosts that are there, and they feel that if they reenact this, that it will give them more, somehow it will have a different outcome. And so they keep reenacting it, hoping that it will have a different outcome for them. Give us a moment. It's like a wheel, a timetable wheel. At a certain time of day, of night, then they feel that this incident is triggered and they begin to move the furniture in their mind, although they are not physically moving furniture. It is the furniture from the earlier time that they are attempting to move. It was a very traumatic incident for these people, and they keep looking for a different outcome.
Thank you. Okay, this is a question from Jim in Medford, New Jersey. Okay, and I enjoyed the call this past Monday, and I am genuinely mindful of the benefits of meditating. In regards to meditation and the concept of establishing a state of silence, is silence to be thought of as something unto itself, or better understood as a void resulting in the lack of all senses? For me personally, over the last 3 or 4 years, I have been unsuccessful in developing a sustainable practice of meditation. Between a demanding work schedule as a business owner and the responsibilities of being a husband and father of 3 young children, I can provide a list a mile long of excuses. But my disconnect seems to be more than that. As strange as it may sound, I feel an outside source of distraction, as if to keep me from the spiritual benefits a consistent meditation routine might provide. It's as if I'm subconsciously keeping myself, while otherwise being kept away. It's more than just being caught up in the everyday running around. Can our sources provide some insight on the possibility or manner in which we may be intentionally led astray from practices such as meditation we know to be beneficial to seek for ourselves? Jim.
Thank you. The first part of your question is concerning the busyness of your day. It is still possible to tune to the now and to enhance your senses, your awareness of the now. What is going on right then? What do your senses tell you? What are the sounds? What are the smells? What are the touch sensations? The more that you can experience things in the now, the more that it will be a meditation in the now, accepting everything as it happens, without trying to change it. If something needs changing, then if you accept whatever it is in the now, then you will be able to look at it.
Jerry, are you there? We lost you.
What happened?
Oh, I hear her. Isn't your end there?
I am here.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I hear you. I'm sorry. It was my phone where the volume went dead for some reason. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's bring in the light and continue, okay?
As you look at everything, the things around you, the impetus is dead, the sounds, people talking to you, the written instructions, the computer, as you look at all that, if you are able to look at it in the now, and heighten your increase in senses in the now, you will then be achieving a meditation, even though you do not have time to set aside some time. It is attuning that you experience in your life, which attunes you to the present time, and to accept everything, to see everything as it is happening, and not try to change it right then, but to collect data to see what needs to be changed, and then to change it in the now that it is appropriate to change it in. If you see it as it is, you will be able to know what changes need to happen. It will be clearer to you what the future path would be. As far as the second part of your question, was something keeping you from the meditative state, there are factors within the mind that typically, with just about anybody, may find chatter, make an interference, and make it harder to stay in the now. If one observes those factors, observes the mind chatter, and sees it just as it is, without trying to change it or say, okay, shut up, we're being quiet now, or if you observe it like it is and work with it, you will see ways to move or flow around it, let it dissipate, and move into the state that you desire.
Thank you. I was thinking a way to look at it, and our sources can confirm that this is okay way of looking at it, is that in 3D, we are in a world of mirrors. Everything is a reflecting back and forth, and just behind the mirror is source. But it's so close, and we are constantly faced with looking at the mirror, either our own projection out, or someone else's projection in. So the question is, how can you go beyond the mirror? And, you know, now on the market, they have something called noise-canceling headphones. It's like whatever the noise whatever the background noise is, the headphone picks it up and puts an equally and opposite background noise. So the perception is there's no background noise. Well, all the mirrors of 3D are like the background noise. And behind all of those mirrors is the source, is the greater universe. And that by flowing around the mirror, it's like canceling it out. By taking the mirror in and just flowing with the reflection and learning how the mastery of how to flow with the reflection that's coming to you, flow around it, then anything can become, maybe meditation is not the right word, but I'll use it. Anything can become a meditation. It can be sex. It can be a conversation. It can be being with your children. As the Ra group said in the Ra work of Carla, it is like see the creator in everything. Just have that thought in your mind. See the creator in the trees, in the children, in the wife, in the whatever is in front of you, even when it's horrible, and see it as a dark aspect of the creator. And if you do that as a constant exercise, just ask yourself, where is the creator in this? Then it has the ability to dissolve the mirror, at least for yourself. The mirror's still there, but it's like you are now around it, and you start to catch potentially the flow of creation as opposed to the reflected creation that we are constantly constantly faced with in through our senses. So let me turn it over to our sources and see if they have any corrections to that.
Thank you. Yes, you are correct. And if you take a look at all the factors of the veil that keep you from facing source directly, the factors of the veil can be genetic. They can be the media, they can be the neighborhood, they can be the food that you've eaten. There can be a multitude of inputs that take one's attention off of source. So when they flow around them, they get to see what is actually there, what is the interference, and to just let it be and flow around it. Because the interference is not being caused by you, and so if it was being caused by you, you would be able to change it. But if it's caused by another source, the genetics say, it is not so easy for you to change it, but if you give it some space, see what's there, allow it to flow through and to dissipate, then you have control.
You know, one thing that came to my mind of an experience in my life was some years ago when I was selling things at fairs, something happened and I was totally broke. Now, being broke is just a reflection of 3D. It means there's no money in the bank. And so what happens is when there's no money, you tend to reflect that in yourself and say, no money, poverty, it's terrible. It's very interesting. People know that when you have money, you can make money more easily because you don't have to overcome this reflected energy of having no money. And I had no money. And so I said, I got to get out of this or I'm going to flop. And I remember it was, I wrote all these bad checks, thousands of dollars of bad checks. Now, not only did I have no money, but I was in the negative, and I had to cover them by whatever I did in the weekend. And I had to go to this show, and I had to not be in a state of having no money, even though that was the fact, because I had to face this crowd, and I had to look like I had money. I couldn't just say, okay, I'm broke, buy something from me. Because it doesn't work. Nobody buys anything when you're putting that out. And so what happens is people reflect the state of the circumstance as it is in the moment instead of flowing around it. And when you flow around it, the circumstance changes. You can change it. You can create your way out of it. But you get stuck. You know, like you get depressed and you get stuck and you keep reflecting the depression. You keep reflecting the lack. And the outer circumstances are not the inner circumstances. And I remember that particular event because by the time we hit Sunday, we had all sold thousands of dollars worth of stuff, and I covered all the checks, and I said, geez, I did it. But I was, like, so scared that, uh-oh, I'm going to fail. Everything's going to fall apart. I'm going to have nothing. I'll be homeless. This is it. And so that was not exactly, it was a meditation. It was a meditation to transcend the reflection of all the obstacles. And when you have obstacles, no matter what, it's this ability to move through the obstacle and not reflect it. Because otherwise, the obstacle then becomes embedded in you. And not only is the obstacle in the outer world, it's in the inner world. And you feel very stuck. How am I going to get out of this? And every day, you're caught in this trap of reflecting your obstacle. And the sources have anything to say about that?
That is a very good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it works that way. And sometimes we can't do it the first time. Sometimes the obstacle is too much, we're too much reflecting the obstacle. And really it becomes, is the obstacle you creating the obstacle, or are you reflecting the obstacle? It doesn't matter because it's all one. And when you can get bigger than the obstacle, then things will change. People really don't have to know you're broke. They don't have to know you have no money. They don't even have to know you're homeless as long as you took a shower and cleaned yourself up. All you need to do is overcome the obstacles and project out into the world above the obstacle, and the world will shift because now it has a new projection from you that is not reflecting the obstacles, okay? And no one knows, only you know. I mean, the people that know you might know, your wife might know or whatever, but if you're looking for a job, whatever, people don't have to know you've been jobless forever. Or they don't have to know you've been depressed. Or they don't have to know that you feel unworthy. Because those are all reflections that you've embedded. And when you can meditate yourself through the reflections, the world will change. It has to change. It's the way it works. So there's no such thing as an obstacle that you're not creating. Okay. next question, let me just see here, is from, just a moment, let's see. All right, this is from Bonnie in Corona. I know this is an unusual question, but I hope you can help me. Last week, I found a man's bike on the side of my house near the gate when I got home after dark. I was afraid of finding someone in the backyard or worse, in the house. Everything was fine, but I am concerned about who owns the bike and how it got in my yard. I have never been this worried about locking everything up. Thank you, Bonnie, Corona.
Thank you. Give us a moment. Have you thought of turning the bike over to the police and making a report upon this? The bike should not have appeared against your house. A report can identify the factors to the police, and they can help to watch for someone that may have lost bike, it is, and stolen, and it may have been left in a hurry. We see that it is possible also a prank where someone has played a prank on another who was the former owner. But see if there is any kind of a missing bike been reported in the area to see if you can find the owner and find out more about what it is that caused the bike to appear there.
Thank you.
A good idea to continue to lock up.
Thank you. Next question is from Isis in Seattle. And I have been recently going through a breakup, been working on processing it and listening to uplifting recordings of Ra'an Calls and Abraham Hicks. I've noticed I am able to uplift my mind and heart to higher vibrations of hope, love, and positivity. But at the same time, there is a strong feeling of pain and disconnect in my solar plexus, sometimes to the point of nausea. How can different chakras be in such different vibrations at the same time? What am I feeling in my solar plexus? A disconnect of the sexual energy exchange during the relationship? Did this person and I know each other before from a past life or a different realm? Did I open my energy field too much, too soon to this person? Any comments would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Your suggestions as to what may have happened there, there are truths to them, and it is more than one factor in the power chakra. It is a loss of power to have a disconnect like that. And your energies were connected strongly, and it is hard to experience the disconnect, and it affects not only that chakra, but the other chakras, then do not receive the power and connection with the other that they had been receiving before. It takes time to move through the adjustment process. So do not be hard on yourself. There are actual vibrational changes that require some getting used to and readjustment for you to regain your power. One of the things is to take a little time each day and to let it go and know that you are whole, and that reconnection in the future with another circumstance will bring back your connection, your feeling of connection in your power chakra and your other chakras. And by going through this experience will help you be stronger and know how to handle future experiences.
Thank you. Next question. This is from, let me see, I think it's from Lori in Portland. Okay. And sometimes I see mandalas when I meditate. They are usually in motion and are made up of different colors, like you'd see coming from a crystal or prism. It's sparkly. They seem to have a pattern to them, with the dominant color in the middle, often deep purple, with a blue fringe. I've come to believe I might be seeing how my energy is running at that moment. It's always different. The other night when I was at the symphony, I closed my eyes and I caught a glimpse of one of these mandalas made up of a very subtle but particularly beautiful pattern. It was organized in a classical pattern at the outer edge, almost the shape of a Gothic cathedral window. Sorry, you're a good writer. You're able to write this evocatively. Then it hit me. Since we are made up mostly of water, could what I'm seeing be kind of a snowflake? Could the symphony pattern be in a classical shape because I was very absorbed in the effect of the beautiful classical music? A scientist in Japan, Emoto, photographed crystals made from water exposed to all kinds of music. The more classical the music, the more beautiful the crystal. He also did tests with water exposed to loving expressions directed at the water, as well as writing kind words on the containers holding the water, like love or you are wonderful, as well as hateful words. And the love words made more beautiful ice crystals, snowflakes. The mean words made deformed crystals. Question, so since we are mostly made up of water, is what I'm thinking a mandala really just the water and the blood of my eyelids reacting to my thoughts, or what? The general state of the moment, something coming from outside me, getting in sync with love energy coming from the logos, sun, or sources. Is it seeing these patterns giving me any useful information as to my inner alignment or mental conditions or heart energy? I suspect the last one, as I only usually see them when I'm relaxed and centered and no thinking going on. Any insights would be appreciated. Thank you. And Laurie, I was thinking that in some of our sessions, they've come out to say that somebody who's an Elohim soul will tend to see things in geometrical patterns. And you may be seeing the patterns of the creation behind the physical thing that's being presented. So let's see what they say. Thank you, sources.
Thank you. We see your focus upon the beautiful mandalas and bringing in the focus of the body energies into geometric shapes that are expressive of the energies expressed in you in the now. We see that in the past you have worked with geometric shapes and artistic drawings, making mandalas, and the expression of energies in various shapes and colors in your space, bringing into focus by your attention and your connection with the beauty around you, for instance, the classical music. It is part of your present and part of your past. And it is a beautiful thing to see.
Thank you. Okay, we got one more question, and it's not Rebecca's. Rebecca, ask yours next week, okay? This is from someone from Merrill in Seattle. And I went to high school with this guy who apparently martyred himself to call attention to his cause. I assume martyred means he killed himself one way or another. Last year, a movie, Concussion, came out addressing the issue. Although I didn't know Ralph personally, I had the impression he was a decent, humble, special soul. And for some reason, I have been sensing him lately in my environment. So here are my two questions. Is Ralph, in fact, in my vicinity? And if so, is he trying to give me a message, possibly asking me to do something to further the cause of protection from sports-caused concussion? And did he choose to suffer to raise awareness? Thank you.
Thank you. We do see that he is visiting you at times in your space and feels your compassion for him, which is a further draw to him to have experience with moving in to connection with you. As far as him giving you something he wishes done, be careful. Simply observe. Do not try to pull him in or not pull him in, but see if he does appear, what it is. See if you can tune it in further to to see what it is that she wishes from you. It could be as simple as connection with somebody, with compassion with him. If it is something further where he wishes you to participate in his motivation, his thing that he wishes to bring in, then be careful. Be very careful and see whether what he wishes is in alignment with something that is going on in your life, or something that he is trying to enforce in your life. He has many things to work through, and he is a separate individual from you, and he needs to work through these things in his own space and time, and not put them on someone else.
Thank you. So, at the end of our time for the call, let's take a moment and just put our energies together. Feel the space of the connection. Feel the space of moving beyond the veil and connecting with the energies of the higher realm. And let's heal ourselves, ask for those energies to help heal our energies where they're blocked and stuck, and let us project our energy into the surrounding planet Earth. And we ask that we have healing for the Earth and earthquake potential, for building of stamina and energy to resist all those artificial influences in our environment designed to create harm, like residue from chemtrails or the like, artificial frequency. And we just bless ourselves, our planet, our family, our neighborhood, and we ask for the help and blessings of our sources as we do that. And on that note, we're going to end this call, and I thank you all so much for being here and supporting this work. And if you're listening and you're not sending questions, then this is an incredibly good opportunity. And please send a question in. You don't want to sound dumb. Send it in, because I used to exclude questions that I thought were dumb. And I've learned that our sources will convert it around anyway and make it get some wisdom in the answer and answer the question at a higher level than it was asked. So take advantage. And we're unmuting. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Liz.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Terry. I love everybody.
Thanks, Wynn and Terry.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you,
Heidi. Thank you.
Good night, John Boy.
Your conference recording has stopped.